Ian Robinson is on Hot Country 103.5.
Joining me here this afternoon is the Dean of Nova Scotia Authors, writing about folklore, superstitions, and traditions from downtown Liverpool, Nova Scotia. Let's say good afternoon to Vernon Oikle. Hey there, Vernon.
Hi, Ian.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, man?
Good, bud. Good, good. So you're busy these days putting some more books out. How many now? What's your number?
48.
Wow. And the latest one here we got to say congrats on is the spooky book that's out in time for Halloween, Even More Ghost Stories of Nova Scotia. So tell us about this one.
Yeah, well, this is it's more of the same, Ian. I hope that doesn't turn anyone off. But, you know, back in 2015, we did Ghost Stories of Nova Scotia, and that went over quite well. So we decided to do a second one, More Ghost Stories of Nova Scotia, and that was a couple years ago. And and so we, you know, with the publisher, talked it over and said, well, maybe we can do another. And so being really creative with the title, we have the material for Even More Ghost Stories of Nova Scotia. I'm not sure what I'll do if we do a fourth book in the series.
Even more ghost stories of Nova Scotia, yeah.
But even still more. Or still even more, or whatever. I don't know. I've got some ideas, but, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself because this one is just out now. It just really, it's been out for a bit, but really the official sort of launch is tying in with Halloween next week. So,
right.
This one's out. It's becoming quite popular. People like this stuff, Ian.
Well, obviously, yeah, you're into your, third bunch here. So, yeah, it's pretty popular. And everybody loves a good ghost story. I got to ask you before we get going there, Vernon, do you believe in ghosts?
You know, I'm asked that question all the time when I do ghost storytelling events and whatnot around the province.
Yeah.
And that's always the first, among the first questions I'm asked. And, and my answer is I don't not believe.
Yeah.
Because I've had things happen to me, and I've been in places that just aren't just don't feel right. So I always tell people don't always look for answers because sometimes there's no answers, and don't judge when people talk about their experiences with this paranormal activity. Don't judge what they say because unless you've experienced it, you really don't know. You don't know what these people have seen or or felt or heard or keep an open mind. And besides all of that, Ian, the desire to want to not believe, I always just tell people to have fun with it.
Especially
this time of year, does everything really need to have an answer? Does everything need to really be tied up in a neat bow? And
exactly.
So let's be honest. There's a lot of mysterious things that happen in the world. And a lot of things happen around that we, can't find explanations for. And sometimes you just got to accept that.
Exactly. And I was thumbing through the book here. We've got 200 pages to go through here with Even More Ghost Stories of Nova Scotia. And one that popped off the pages for me that stands out is the one about the ghosts at the Halifax Citadel on page 141.
Yeah.
So could you share that one with us here today?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we should point out that this book is a collection of stories from across Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. I tried to get material that was representative of all the regions, Cape Breton and Halifax and the South Shore and the Valley and that.
Yeah.
So this story, actually, I got it quite a few years ago. Of course, Halifax Citadel is a historic location, right? Several hundred years old. And over the years, stories have been passed around and told and retold about mysterious figures and sounds coming from some of the locations around the Citadel, and that only stands to reason with a historic property, particularly one that has that much history. So you would expect there to be some residual energy and activity behind. And really basically, over the years, people have reported seeing figures, seeing soldiers, and hearing footsteps and noises. And when they've gone to check things out, they can never find a source for all this activity. And the one that I talk about here in the book goes back several years to when places like the Citadel were using cameras and tape to record you know, activity, particularly after hours,
right,
for security reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people started reporting seeing figures on the tapes of somebody being, you know, people being in rooms, men being seen in rooms, and when they've gone to check them out, there's never anyone there. So, you know, the cameras don't lie, right? If you have a camera in the room and a location, and it picks up somebody, like the figure of a man passing through the room, and you know, there's evidence there
that, yeah,
that somebody or something was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's really what this one talks about. But there's, you know, there's so many, you know, there's so many stories that have been told from down through the times, of, as I said, of you know, soldiers being seen around the Citadel and noises and that. So, but that's typical, I think, of a lot of these historical places. They, you know, that Lewisburg is purported to be haunted. There's a lot of stories that come out of Lewisburg, mm-hmm, of similar type of activity. You know, and the same with Port Royal in the Valley and places like that. So, I you know, and why not? Because there's several hundred years of history in those locations.
You got
so
it.
I think
yeah,
it stands to reason that you would have this kind of activity with it. But that's kind of a, you know, on the other side of that, I always point out to people that just because the place is historic doesn't necessarily mean that there may be spirits there.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of that, just because a place is new doesn't mean you won't have spirits, because spirits, you might build a, you know, people fall under this trap of thinking haunted houses, for example, have to be old and run down and,
mm-hmm,
and decrepit. But, you know, you may have a brand new house and there may be a spirit attached to it, because spirits can attach themselves to a person, place, or thing. So perhaps it's the ground on which the house is built, or something in the house that may have a spirit attached to it, or maybe, you know, somebody's brought a spirit with them to your house. So the age of a location doesn't necessarily imply that there's going to be a spirit there.
Right.
So, you know, people, but we fall into that trap when we think about that, right? Because I always ask this when I do ghost stories. I always ask, have you ever been in a haunted home, haunted house? And I'm not talking about the kind that they have at the fairs,
yeah,
you know, with the, but people, you know, people don't realize that, because, you know, they may live in a new house, they just think that they're going to get away scot free. And I, you know, so when I explain that to them, they just kind of like, huh, well,
interesting. Yeah. Do you have a favorite story in the book there, Vernon? Favorite ghost story that comes to mind?
Oh my gosh, Ian, there are so many stories. You know, there's one, my favorite one, I think, is a story called, that I titled The Haunted Closet.
Right.
And it's about you know, kind of arguing against myself here. This is a story about a historical home that people bought a couple of years ago, and they've been slowly renovating it to convert it into a bed and breakfast,
mm-hmm,
operation. And they've encountered lots of activity in their home. And they chalk it up to some disturbances that they think they created by when they were doing renovations in the master bedroom, or what was the master bedroom. They did some work in one of the closets in the room. And after that, they started having strange phenomenon happening around the house, things that they couldn't explain. And, you know, they tied it to those renovations, because prior to that activity, they don't ever recall ever having any kind of, incidences in their house. So.
So they must have poked the ghost instead of poking the bear.
Well, that's possible.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. And, you know, I've got a couple other good ones in here. You know, there's about a haunted house in the Petite Riviere area that's really kind of intriguing and you know, and on some levels quite disturbing that this stuff is happening there. And but that having been said, the people who live there, they just sort of take it in stride. It's their, you know, it's just their ancestral family home, and these occurrences have been going on for quite a number of years, and
No, it's just, George the Ghost is acting up again.
people who live with spirits in their houses, of course they're shocked and surprised when these things happen, but they just come to terms with it, and after a while, I think, and just learn to live with it and accept it, that this is my house and this is part of my house.
Wow. So even more ghost stories of Nova Scotia. The book is out now, Vernon, and loaded with 200 pages here. Where can the folks get a copy in time for Halloween?
They can get it at any of the fine bookstores around Nova Scotia. And, of course, the big chains have it. But all the, you know, the independent bookstores as well. They're also available in the, you know, a lot of the museums carry this type of book. And you can get it online. You can get it through the big services, of course. Or if you can't find it, just reach out to me and I'll make sure I point you in the right direction or help you get a copy. They're out there. I've seen them all around. So.
You bet. Well, a happy Halloween, and thanks for having a chat with us here today. Even more ghost stories of Nova Scotia with Vernon Oikle. So Vernon, hope you get lots of candy and some more ghost stories for Halloween.
Thank you very much, Ian. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure to chat with you.